Today is the last Sunday after Pentecost. The readings for today, the epistles taken from 1 Colossians chapter 9. Colossians chapter 1. Brethren, we cease not to pray for you and to beg that you may be filled with the knowledge of the will of God in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of God in all things pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to the power of his glory, in all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to God the Father, who has made us worthy to be partakers of the lot of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the remission of sins. Please stand for the Holy Gospel, taken from Matthew chapter 24. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "When you shall see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, he that reads, let him understand. Then they that are in Judea, let them flee to the mountains. And he that is on the housetop, let him not come down to take anything out of his house. And he that is in his field, let him not go back to take his coat. And woe to them that are with child and breastfeeding in those days. But pray that your flight be not in the winter or on the Sabbath. For there shall be then great tribulation, such as has not been seen from the beginning of the world until now, neither shall be. And unless those days had been shortened, no flesh should be saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say to you, 'Lo, here is Christ,' or 'there,' do not believe him. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch as to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Behold, I have told it to you beforehand. If therefore they shall say to you, 'Behold, he is in the desert, go ye not out. Behold, he is in the secret places,' believe it not. For as lightning comes out of the east and appears even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Wheresoever the body shall be, there also the eagle shall be gathered together. And immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be moved. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with much power and majesty. And he shall send his angels with a trumpet and a great voice, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the farthest parts of the heavens to the utmost bounds of them. And from the fig tree learn a parable. When the branch thereof is now tender and the leaves come forth, you know that summer is nigh. So you also, when you shall see all these things, know you that it is nigh, even at the doors. Amen, I say to you that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. Heaven and earth shall pass, but my word shall not pass away." Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Reverend Father, dear friends, we have come yet again to the end of the liturgical year. And the church wants us to consider the end of our own life, the judgment which waits not only the whole world, the general judgment, but it's a good time to consider the judgment that awaits each one of us, our own particular judgments. Our Lord in the Gospel speaks of the destruction of Jerusalem and also the end of the world. He seems to go back, intertwine both of them. And so also we have these two judgments which we know we have to consider. And today we'll look more at the particular judgments, our own personal judgment. It is really striking how much we know about our judgment. We know who will judge us, we know what we will be judged on, and we know how we will be judged. At the moment of our death, we will be judged by our Lord Himself, our Lord Jesus Christ, the incarnate Word. Not the sweet infant of Bethlehem. We will not be judged by the meek child of Nazareth, but we will be judged by Christ the King. Rex tremende majestatis, says the Dies Irae at the Requiem Mass. King of tremendous majesty. St. John the Evangelist in the Apocalypse, in the last book of the Bible, he describes his vision of Christ. And in very powerful words, he speaks of his eyes were like flames of fire. His voice was like thunder, like many waters. And St. John the Evangelist, who was the beloved disciple, he rested on the Sacred Heart at the Last Supper. When St. John saw him, he said, I fell as if one dead. Yes, our Lord is going to, at the end of the world, He's going to come in His power and His majesty. And when He judges us, He's going to judge us in His power and His glory. Yes, life is serious because Christ is serious. Our souls cost Him a lot. All of these gifts which He has given to us, all these graces, they cost Him a lot. Our Lord did not become man. He didn't live and work and suffer and pray just so that we could have an easy life. No, He wants us to do His will and to follow Him closely. At our death, we will have to give a strict account to Him of our stewardship. What we did with those gifts which He gave to us, those gifts which He purchased. We think of those words, all of us traditional Catholics, those who've been given much more, we think of those words which He said, to whom much is given, much is expected. And we know what happened to the unprofitable servant in the gospel. We also know what we will be judged on. We will be judged on every thought, every action, and every word of our whole life. Yes, God knows everything. He knows everything we have done, everything we have thought. And these considerations help us to want to become better, to want to become more holy, to want to develop these virtues. But we have to remember what we've done. Our Lord also says, but I say to you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall render an account for it on the day of judgment. Every idle word. What will be the judgments of everyone on the internet? Everyone who says whatever they want, whenever they want. How many idle words now in this world of technology? Well, one day everyone is going to have to give an account of all these things. We will also be judged on sins of omission. We sometimes forget about these sins of omission. St. Thomas More, the great English martyr, he says, we shall be judged more on what we did not do than what we did. We will be judged more on what we did not do. Is how often do we confess these sins of omissions? The time I did not use well. The time I did not spend in prayer. The example I never gave. Especially for those of us in authority, priests, parents, fathers, mothers, we all have a tremendous responsibility if we're in a position of authority. What we did not do. We will be judged on charity especially. The love of God that is in our heart. At the end of our life, that's really what matters, is how much we love God. And that love, that charity will determine our place in heaven for all eternity. And how do we know how much we love God? What is the thermometer? If you ever want to know how much you love God, simply look and see how much you love your neighbor. It's an infallible way of telling. It's an infallible test. Our love of God and love of neighbor always grow together. And our Lord speaks about this actually in the context of the Last Judgment. And just to give you these words. So these are just, this is just, uh, a chapter, just the chapter after the gospel of today. In the gospel of St. Matthew, our Lord says, "Then shall the king say to them that shall be on his right hand, Come, you blessed of my Father, possess you the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me to drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you covered me. Sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then shall the just answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see thee hungry, and feed thee, thirsty, and gave thee to drink? And when did we see thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and covered thee? Or when did we see thee sick or in prison and came to thee?" And the king answering shall say to them, "Amen, I say to you, as long as you did it to one of these, my least brethren, you did it to me." Yes, we will be judged on charity. And of course, he says the same thing to the reprobate, those on his left. He tells them, enter into eternal fire. Why? What is the reason? He says, because I was hungry, you did not give me to eat. I was thirsty, you did not give me to drink. He gives them all the same reasons. And they say the same thing. They answer in the same way. Lord, when did we see you hungry? When did we see you thirsty? When did we see you sick or in prison? And he tells them the same thing. As long as you did it not to the least of my brethren, you did it not to me. So dear friends, we have to love God and our neighbor. We have to see Christ in everyone. And lastly, we know how our judgment will be. We know how it's going to go. Our Lord again says, "Judge not that you may not be judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged." Many times in the gospel, he says, however you treat others, with the severity that you judge them, that is how I'm going to judge you. Again, that's what God says. How we treat others is how he treats us. If you don't forgive others, I'm not going to forgive you. And so, it's terrifying on the one hand, but it's also very consoling. If we are merciful towards others, if we are forgiving, if we are clement, then we can expect our Lord to treat us the same way and to judge us with that same clemency. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. There's a story of a monk who lived long ago. When he was a young monk, when he entered the monastery, he was fervent and zealous, and he was an exemplary monk. But after the years went by, he became lukewarm, and he started to become lax in the rule, following the rule. He was late to the church. He was sleeping in. He wasn't doing his work very well. And of course, all of the other monks noticed, you know, in a community life, when you live together, you notice these things. And they were concerned for him. And it happened that this monk all of a sudden one day died. And again, the consternation of the other brothers. A few days after his death, one of his friends was in the monastery praying in the chapel late at night, praying for the repose of his soul. And all of a sudden there was a resplendent light in the chapel. And this monk appeared in glory, the monk who had just died. And the monk who was praying expressed his astonishment. And he said, "We were worried for you. We were worried about your soul because you were lukewarm. You weren't a good brother anymore." And he said, "It is true that I did become laxed, and I wasn't fervent in my religious duties. But then," he said, "I was always merciful towards others. I never judged anyone. I always gave the benefit of the doubt. I always tried to excuse my other brothers and to treat them charitably, to see Christ in them. And for this reason, my own judgment was very lenient. And after a short time in purgatory, I have now entered eternal happiness." St. Peter says, charity covers a multitude of sins. We all have sins. We all have weaknesses. We all have shortcomings. And we all need Christ's mercy. We all go to confession. None of us are looking forward to our own judgment. But if we are merciful with others, if we give them the benefit of the doubt, if we don't rash judge, we try to overlook their faults, we try to forgive them, we try to forget, then we can be confident our own judgment will be lenient. And if you ever struggle with this, I encourage you to read and meditate on frequently the Sermon on the Mounts, chapters 5, 6, and 7 in St. Matthew's Gospel. Also St. Luke's Gospel, there's Sermon on the Mount as well. But again and again, our Lord speaks of this forgiveness, this mercy. This is really at the heart of the Gospel. So dear friends, of course, these considerations aren't always pleasant. It's not pleasant to think about death, judgment, the last things, but we need to sometimes. We don't want to be obsessed with them. We don't want to be morbid or depressed or always fearful. A lot of people now are worried about the end of the world. What's going to happen? Well, that's not what God wants us to. He doesn't want us to be afraid. He doesn't want us to worry, but he wants us to take these things seriously. He wants us to take our lives seriously. He wants us to take him seriously. But we stay at peace. We consider these things peacefully and seriously. And again, the end of the world, not even the angels know this. So how much less people who talk about it? They have no idea what they're talking about. Ignore it. Don't worry about it. We live in the present, which is what matters. And we try to grow in the love of God every day. That's all that matters. There's a Carmelite, Father mentioned him recently, the Carmelites, Elizabeth of the Trinity. She said at the end of her life, when she's on her deathbed, she said, "At the end of life, only love remains. If only I had done everything out of love." That was her only regret. And I think it will be the only regret for all of us at the end of our lives. If only I had loved more. If I had loved God more, if I had loved my neighbor more. So dear friends, let us pray for this grace today. Let us also be devoted to the Mass. Those who attend Mass frequently they're in this atmosphere of eternity. And the Mass is Calvary, therefore it is also a school of forgiveness. If you struggle with forgiveness, if you struggle with mercy, come to the Mass, love the Mass. There you will learn to love and to forgive and to forget. And let us go to the Mother of Mercy. Thank God, Our Lady's business is not one of judgment. She will not be our judge. She will be our advocate, on the contrary. We ask her today for this grace to take the gifts of God seriously, to appreciate them and to use them well. Do you remember that one day we will have to make an account of these precious gifts, these graces? We ask her for this love of God, a greater love of neighbor, so that one day we may also hear those words. "Well done, good and faithful servant. Come ye blessed of my Father into the kingdom prepared for you." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.